Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so very much for joining me. My name is Rhonda Kay, and this is SMB Tech School at www.smbtechschool.com. And I need to mention that our website is currently under construction. But thank you so much for joining me today. This is our human behavior class, and this is class number 2. I will be recording the rest of the session or the rest of the term through this week. I will be recording class 3 tomorrow, class 4, and class 5 this week. So if you want to put your thinking hats on and go ahead and get these classes listened to, that is going to be great. At this point, you should have already received your syllabus for the class. We are using a couple of different reference pieces of material, but we are working out of the Human Behavior for Healthcare Professionals book, and we are also using our Medical Assisting Administrative and Clinical Competencies textbook. We're working out of Chapter 4 in that. And then, you know, have a lot of other little pieces of reference material that I like to use when I'm teaching human behavior. So appreciate you guys for joining me today, and just wanted you to know that we, again, will be working out of the medical assistant book again, out of Chapter 4, and today we are also going to be working out of Chapter 6 and 7, or Unit 6 and 7, in the human behavior, Understanding Human Behavior Guide for Healthcare Professionals Handbook. Last time we talked about it, we used a pretty good bit of detail when we were talking about the communication cycle and how words are, or how what we are trying to relay and deliver to the listener or the receiver, how those messages can sometimes become distorted or interrupted and cause a huge discrepancy in whatever it is that we're trying to do. In this particular case, if we're trying to speak with a patient and we have not confirmed that the patient understands what it is that we're speaking of, then, you know, the patient can overdose or underdose or, you know, just not understand, you know, what it is that they're supposed to be doing to better themselves while they're on the road to recovery. And so that means that they're not going to be able to be compliant with the doctor's orders. So we talked a good detail about the communication circle and cycle and how effective communication was certainly important in the healthcare profession. Now, last week when we were in class, we did talk about Unit 5, which is the physical needs of a person. And the reason that we covered that so broadly was because when we are understanding human behavior, we have to also look at the condition of the person. And if we're talking about healthcare, we have patients that are not going to be, you know, clinically well. And then we have others that are just following up on their care to make sure that they are okay. Either or, the physical needs of a patient, if they are not met, including some of the things that we talked about, you know, out of your medical assistant book, which was safety needs, your love needs, your physiological needs, and your self-esteem needs, then not even to mention your nutritional needs, then once we get to that physical standpoint, you don't have much of a person to work with. We're having, you know, our body needs us to be physically active and to take in particular substances, vitamins and minerals in order to keep us strong and keep us healthy and keep us focused. So today we're going to kind of go back and forth on some things that we did, you know, speak about in the last class. And we're going to talk about I'd like to reserve this class today to speak about self-actualization. Self-actualization, and then we are going to be also out of chapters again, 6 and 7, which is the need of self-approval and also the need of acceptance. And we're going to talk about, you know, we've talked about a lot about, you know, our relationship as a healthcare professional, allied health professional, and us and the patient, but we need to talk about what happens within that relationship, the entirety of the relationship, when it's just time for you to work one-on-one with your provider. Working one-on-one with your other coworkers is just as detailed, but working one-on-one with a provider, we're going to talk about what that entails today. And there's a couple of different things that I want you guys to look up for me, and there are going to be your attendance flag words, which is going to be horizontal relationship and also vertical relationship. Now, horizontal relationship is going to be that of the relationship you establish with your coworkers, and a vertical relationship is going to be the relationship that you establish with your immediate supervisor. So we're going to talk about that and talk about how understanding the nature of the relationship that you have with others will help you to be just as stern, be just as strong, be just as professional when you have that one-on-one relationship with the provider. Keep in mind that as a medical assistant, your provider does need to be able, the provider that you're working with does need to be able to trust you as a professional, because you're going to be that person's right hand when it comes to helping them to take care of their patient. You're going to be the one that's delivering a lot of the information. A lot of times the doctors don't pick up the phone and make, you know, detailed telephone calls with the patients. They'll have the nurse or the medical assistant to do that. So we need to be able to understand the relationship of the nature of relationships, and we need to talk more about where we are as people, because, you know, before we become healthcare professionals, we're people, you know. What is your self-esteem needs like? What's the love life going? What is it like in your love life at home? Because, you know, and not that people want to get personable or personal with you in your personal life, but a lot of times that will reflect how we take care of our patients and how attentive we are at home. And so, again, that is going to lead us to the ultimate relationship, which is the relationship that you have with the doctor. Now, I want to talk about six major characteristics that represent human relations competencies for good work relationship, whether it's a horizontal relationship or a vertical relationship. I want to talk about that, but I do want you to understand that you will be responsible for reading chapters 6 and 7 out of this book, because a lot of what I'm going to talk about will touch on, you know, those chapters that are very relative to what it is I'm talking about. Now, let's back up for a couple of seconds. The need for self-approval, social needs of people, self-concept, self-esteem, influence of others on our own self-esteem, the effects of success and failure, success and then striving for self-approval. You know, we understand that as we become medical assistants or nurses or practical nurses, vocational nurses, registered nurses, once we know that we want a position, a professional standpoint in the healthcare profession, at the top of the line, we're going to have a provider that we are going to be talking to, and we're going to be delivering information about a patient. They're going to need to trust us with that. We're going to need to trust their work as well. But we need to make sure that we understand that wherever we are with our own self-esteem, with our own way that we develop our relationships and where our love life is and where our family life is and where our comfort level is, then you have to decide on whether the healthcare profession is going to be a place that's going to continue to help you with the growth of your relationships with others, or if it's going to cause you to have a more inadequate standpoint with your patients and inadequate dealing with other healthcare professionals that you work with. Because politicians, lawyers, teachers, and doctors, and sometimes even nurses, but those three professional standpoints are some of the most tough, you know, people to work with, and not because, you know, they think that they're all that, but because, you know, you have some really challenging responsibilities. You have some great rewards, but where there's great reward, there's great responsibility, and I'm sure you guys have heard that. So we need to make sure that we know where we are professionally and personally when we strive to go out and work in a profession as detailed as the healthcare profession, because again, you will sometimes work with people that don't have the mannerisms that we have in order to build a professional relationship, and you're still going to have to take that. Whatever, I'm not saying take it in a negative way, but you're still going to have to, even with knowing maybe a physician's bedside manner is not where you really want it to be, where it should be, and to have a successful relationship, you're still going to have to walk away and go and take care of what's the main position that we're there in the first place, and that is the patient. So I want to talk about one of the first major characteristics that represent human relations competencies, and that is called the mutual reward theory. Again, I want you to write it down. Number one is going to be your mutual reward theory. We need to understand that the lifeblood of any great relationship, the lifeblood is through communication. And so when we can kind of get that established, we can move forward to understanding where we need to begin with this new relationship. And so we come to this mutual reward theory, and you may see it abbreviated MRT, capital letters MRT. But the mutual reward theory, this states that a relationship between two people is enhanced when there's a satisfactory balance of rewards between them, okay? A satisfactory balance of rewards between you and somebody else. So let's say, okay, between you and the patient. I mean, why are you going to be so satisfied that this patient is feeling better because of your efforts? You know, what does that have to do with working with the doctor? Well, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it's working with your employer overall, maybe Piedmont Hospital. And then you have, employees that are under the, have been employed at Piedmont Hospital, including the physicians. So, you know, your joy in taking care of that patient is understanding that you have been right there with the physician, calling in those medications, making sure that that patient understands the educational aspect of what it is that they're learning, you know, about their health and what they can do to better that. And you're going to be that person that's going to make sure that patient, satisfactorily understands what it is that they need to have. So when there's a connection between you and the patient through the fact that they understand what's going on with their health, that's going to be the great work relationship that you've established with the doctor and you, because you're able to understand the doctor. You have enough experience, you have enough education to understand the doctor and to be able to take that information back according to what it is that they want you to deliver and give that to the patient so that they can go home with it and take care of themselves. So that's going to be a mutual reward. The patient's going to be happy with you because you're able to give them some advice and some encouragement based on the direction of the doctor's advice. In effort to help them to do better when they're at home, when to take their medicine, why it's important not to take too much medicine at one time. It may get that pain gone, but then it's bringing down another area of our body's anatomy and destructing another type of organ. So that's a mutual reward that we have. And so that's going to be one of the first number one characteristics that we need to attain. The second one is value conflict. Everybody has their own value system, and everybody knows, what in that value system, what's the most important and what is the least important. Everybody has her own priority of a list of things that you want to do in your life and how you want to do them. Different people seek different lifestyles. Okay. It is only natural that the value conflicts exist between people who are focused and forced to work closely with each other because of your work, okay? So because of the work relationship that you're going to have with these patients and more so with a physician, like I said, we talk a lot about what is necessary between you and the patient, but when you have to report back to the doctor, that's what I want to talk about today. And so, you know, the mutual reward conflict, or I'm sorry, the mutual reward theory that you're going to have, you know, that hopefully can be established between you and the physician. And then secondly, this value conflict. And again, you know, how much do you value the information that you're receiving from the doctor and vice versa in order to be able to connect this information with your to your patients to make sure that they're okay. So again, it is natural that a value conflict exists between you and value conflicts, I'm sorry, will exist between you and people that you work closely in a working relationship with. And that's because one is expecting something more than the other, or vice versa, or there could be other reasons. But anyways, in order to be able to work that out, we have to make sure that we understand the needs of the workplace and the needs of that particular provider. It's never okay for another person to place their own personal values at work up against, you know, how it is that you decide to professionally deliver, so long as it's professional. And a lot of times that happens when, you know, we kind of step outside of where we need to be versus leaving it business, okay? So the second one is going to be value conflicts. The third thing is going to be ethic implications. Yeah, ethic implications. And the reason that ethic implications are one of the most one of those characteristics, the six that we're going to be talking about today, is because, you know, more and more, especially here in the United States, we are learning as a country, we are learning as a community, we are learning as a corporation to diversify and accept diversity in the workplace. This is never more common than now, not just seeing your Caucasian you know, employees or, you know, leaders, as people that are authoritative, but also, you know, your Latinos, your Asians, your gays, your women, your, you know, superiors that you didn't, people that are in place as a superior that we didn't see or that the United States kind of didn't recognize as a role model or as an authority figure. So we do have to also look at the ethical implications that can, you know, really be crucial in working with, you know, anybody. But specifically, again, we're talking about today the provider. And I'm going to read you some information I have. It says international businesses, including e-commerce businesses, and have increased awareness, and it's critical, you know, that we continue to deliver awareness, you know, ethically based on, you know, the few areas that I just named with respect to whether it's a religious standpoint, whether it's a woman or man, or the person's, you know, ethnic background. These are situations that we are going to have to be more welcome to and more diverse and opening when we are working, especially in anywhere, but especially in the health in the healthcare profession, because you're going to run across a lot of different people and, you know, people from different walks and paths of life. One of the things that we need to recognize is that, you know, when we are looking at the basics in human relations, in human relations competency, is that we respect and we treat every person as a unique person, as a special individual, and we look beyond and outward. We look beyond outwardly and ignore things like, oh, well, that person's, you know, heavyset or skinny or white or black or Asian or gay. You know, we need to make sure that we are willing to accept who that person's person is. You know, now I'm not saying that we have to be accepting of a derogatory attitude or somebody that is rude or harsh, but ethical implication is another one of the areas that we are going to be faced with when we are understanding human relations. Let's talk about the fourth major characteristic that we will face, and that is sexual overtones and harassment. Now, sexual harassment is zero tolerance in most workplaces, and I'm saying most because, you know, you do have organizations that promote it, and it's because that's what the business does. Whether it's I'm not saying that all strip clubs are like this, but, you know, sometimes, just depending, you know, it's more for them. So sexual overtones and harassment are definitely areas that we have to be, you know, cognizant of, and we have to understand. There are three different forms of harassment, I'm sure you guys are aware of, and that is your verbal harassment, your visual, and then, unfortunately, your physical. It does happen. So I would say that when you are, if it's two women or if it's two men or a man and a woman, you're working in this relationship, in this working environment with a physician, that person is of the opposite gender, and you have faced a situation that is not comfortable, then you have to speak up. You have to speak up. You have to set the barriers. You have to let it be known, because at the end of the day, the other person knows. They know what is legal. They know what is illegal. That is, they know what is ethical and what is unethical, professional, unprofessional. And so sometimes you have to be the person to call those shots if it goes left. The next thing that we're going to have to look at when we are dealing with understanding human relations is the age difference. You know, I mean, you have somebody that's, you know, 50, 60 years old. They've worked in a profession for an extended period of time. They've worked in this profession for a gifted period of time. Then one of the things that just in life, some of you may have sisters and brothers that are way older than you, and so, you know, your conversation is different than their conversation, you know. But when we're in the workplace, you're going to see where maturity and age difference is still a big situation. If you have a nurse that's, you know, 22 years of age, and you have a nurse that's 60, you know, depending sometimes with the specialty of medicine that you're working with, you're going to see some really mature behaviors, and you're going to see ones that think that you may say to yourself, okay, you're 22, you don't need to be, you know, working over in here because, you know, you don't get it, you don't, you know, this is a joke, you may have this, and, you know. So age difference is certainly a situation that, you know, you'll have to consider, and that hopefully the provider will also consider. But I would say just mature up. You know, don't go anywhere acting immature or childish, because you're going to be dealing with people that are sometimes kids. Sometimes we have to get down to their level so that they understand sometimes, but we don't want to be childish and ignorant. We want to maintain professionalism at all times. And if you are dealing with someone that's much older and maybe they're using verbiage or, you know, something that you don't understand, then the professional way to handle that would be to say that you don't understand, and that person could provide you some feedback on, or some knowledge, or whatever you want to say, with respect to what it is they're talking about, so that you guys can be on the same team. That's different. But, you know, just flat out ignorance, laughing at certain situations, and, you know, being goofy, and, you know, not carrying yourself in a way that says you're mature enough to be in the profession is certainly a negative. So hopefully, you know, we don't have to cross that. But you will cross situations where there's age differences will matter. The next one is an irritation threshold. We all have them. We all have them. In fact, let me just tell you, my husband is just so just vague. And, you know, we have a 13-year-old, and he has this really contagious, you know, goofy laugh. And so, you know, my husband hates it. And I'm always like, you know, why do you always kind of like act like you don't like when he laughs? I'd rather for him to laugh than cry. And anyway, so some of the irritation thresholds that certain people may have in the workplace, maybe it may cause you to, you know, throw this part of your human relations competencies out the window. But some of them are, you know, some people have a harsh or loud voice or irritating laugh or overbearing mannerisms. And you may find that some of the, you know, staff and, you know, providers that you may work with may have that overbearing manner. Constant name dropping. You know, I absolutely hate that. I hate it when I'm around someone and, you know, they do have that authority figure and or someone that, you know, wants you to think that they have more than they have, and they constantly start name dropping. Name dropping is when they're, oh, you know, I used to know Michael Jackson. Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, me and Jennifer Lopez are studying. We went to the store last week, and she thought she wanted to buy some. You know, just name dropping and just kind of actually lying. Constant talk about money, such a turnoff. Constant reference to sex, telling dirty or unfunny stories, overuse of certain words or expressions. I hate it when I hear people say, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, so, you know, those are some, I just did it. Constant discussion of personal problems. You know, this is, it can become very draining. Constant bragging about success or on or off the job or having opinion about everything, dominating conversation. That's the last one. Anyway, according to the blog here, we're at a time. Please, you know, your homework assignment is just going to be reading chapters 6 and 7 out of your Understanding Human Behavior book. And at some point towards the end of the week after my next class, I'm going to ask you to do a report over how you battle stress when you're at work. And how, and I'm going to give you certain situations. Anyways, thank you guys so very much for joining us today. Again, your attendance flag words were horizontal and vertical relationships and what they mean. And send that to me in an email. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you so very much. You guys have a great day. Bye-bye.